When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley. I'm here with Kedrick Prince, our director of recruiting, and later on we'll have Brad Sturdy, a fellow Illini guy. We're going to talk a little bit about this win over the Ohio State Buckeyes. This was a win that the Illini sorely needed, and to be honest, the Buckeyes really needed to get this game so that they could kind of get, you know, continue their back on track. As it is, they broke a losing streak, but I think they're like lost six of their last seven. They're not in a good place. They didn't look particularly sharp tonight. And, you know, there was a lot of times that they really, you know, just had some interesting times to do some dumb fouls and had some bad turnovers. Ked, what were your initial impressions looking at the game?
Well, I had some concerns the way the game started, but, you know, looking at the big picture, they Illinois won 5 of 6. It's kind of hard to, you know, fathom that Ohio State beat Illinois 6 straight games. And, you know, I was sitting there thinking about it when I heard that. I remember going back to COVID when Iowa was there, and I remember them getting beaten. Ohio State's always played Illinois well. So, I mean, it's a good win. It's kind of stressful, if it makes any sense. I mean, they don't make anything easy. They really don't. I'm not going to just, you know, use what Robbie Hummel said, but the one thing I guess that concerns me with this group of guys is I don't mind them shooting threes, and Robbie Hummel said the same thing. But some of the threes I think they're shooting, they're contested, and they don't need to be. I mean, my thing is if you run the shot clock down to 17 seconds, you have an open three. You know, everybody on the team other than Dane Danger is capable of shooting a three. Why not just shoot that three regardless of who you are and then dribble and wait until you're down to 5 seconds and have to chuck up a shot where it's contested? I mean, that I want to see them fix. But other than that, I mean, it was a good win. And, you know, for the fans out there who don't think fatigue played an issue in last week's loss to Indiana, I'm going to throw a stat to you. They shot 33%, I believe, from the free throw line. Against Indiana tonight, they shot 89% or 88% or 89%. And Coach Underwood mentioned that in his post-game radio interview. I mean, it matters. I mean, they were just exhausted. A team that was exhausted. Shots didn't fall, but I think, you know, I'm not worried about that. I mean, I think they will, as long as they shoot good shots and not with people flying out and hands in their face.
Well, the other thing is they were 16 for 18 tonight from the free throw line compared to Ohio State, who was 12 for 20. The interesting thing is if Illinois shot, let's just say they went to a night where they shot 50% from the line, that would be 9 for 18. You'd take 7 points off of this score, and it's 62 to 60, and this thing goes down to the wire. It's really hard to underestimate the importance of the free throws. And for you younger fans out there, one of the – you know, things that people call the free throw line is the charity stripe, because somebody's giving you something for free. And ultimately the Illini took advantage of that. And in many ways that ability to knock down free throws really kind of won them the game tonight.
It really did. And I mean, it's a stat that people don't overlook, but it's one that people can forget about. And Illinois is not a great free throw shooting team tonight. And maybe Coach Underwood is right. I don't know. Maybe they were just – it was the luck of the basketball guys. I don't know. But it looks really good. It's good for them, you know, that they made their free throws, because you're right. I mentioned that in the Indiana game, and some fan got mad at me. But the bottom line is, even if you're playing bad, if you make free throws and do the little things, you know, you're going to win games. And I thought the defense tonight was very noticeable to me too, Mike. I thought that they really – I mean, there's sometimes I think people talk about teams playing great defense. I think it's overrated because I think teams just shoot bad, you know. But I think Illinois really contested shots. I really saw them this time more so than the Michigan State game. I don't know what the numbers present themselves, but I saw them run guys off that three-point line tonight. They did a really, really good job of that. That's something that they've done an excellent job of as of late, is trying to take, you know, the three ball away from teams. And, you know, Coach Underwood mentioned it in his press conference last week, and people kind of balked and laughed at him. But, you know, if Trace Jackson doesn't score, you know, 75 points and you make your free throws and don't turn the ball over, maybe they do win. Maybe there's some, you know, maybe there's a method to his madness.
Well, and for those fans, you know, when you're looking at 3-point shooting, a couple things you look at, the overall percentage, and, you know, Ohio State shot 40%. But because of the way Illinois was running them off the line, they were only 4 for 10. So they didn't have many looks because Illinois was running them off the line. And then when it came to actual shooting percentage overall, Illinois held them to 36.7% shooting. So, you know, you're really looking at a team that went 18 for 50 from the 2-point. So that's a bad day. You held them to straight up, you know, roughly 36%. That's just a bad day at the office for anybody. Particularly if you're saying that that's inside the 3-point arc. The other thing I don't have, unfortunately, I don't have the layup numbers in front of me. But, you know, Illinois made their free throws tonight. They shot 40%, so not a great night, but not a bad night. They didn't have as many of the missed layups tonight. They had, I can think of one from Epps and one from Ty Rogers that were very acrobatic layups, but for the most part, they were more accurate in the lane. And to me, those are two things. You miss free throws, you miss layups. That tends to tell me your legs aren't there.
I want to comment on that, and I'm going to be a homer just for this 15, 20 seconds. I remember the Northwestern game, and I'm going to go back to that game when they only got blown out of the gym, and everybody in the country who was supporting Illinois appeared to be mad at Coach Underwood because of how he reacted on the bench. Well, tonight, I'm going to tell you, Ty Rogers missed the layup. It was a beautiful play that they called. Beautiful
yep.
play.
Yep.
Underwood didn't say anything. He just walked to the bench and had a seat. So for all the people who want to criticize him, give him some credit when he's not doing it, because, you know, a month and a half ago, he probably, you know, would have, I got to keep this PG, you know, but he didn't do that tonight. And you're right, and that makes a huge difference. And I know you haven't asked about players, but I really, really want to give kudos to one guy tonight. I know we're going to talk about several, but I really thought RJ Melendez was unbelievable on defense. And, I mean, he was awesome. And I feel bad that his kid's shots aren't falling in. You know, we're supposed to be neutral, you know, covering these games, but I'm going to tell you, I really want to see this kid succeed. He's had a horrible season. It's not the season that he thought he was going to have offensively. And, you know, his body language is, you know, it's there, but he's not smiling and having fun. But at least he's playing defense. And the 1-3 he hit, they took away from him and called him, you know, ghost, you know, moving screen. But I'm really pulling for this kid because he really defended. And I know I said RJ, but I thought Ty Rogers did a good job too. For all the people said he was a bust, the guy had 8 or 9 rebounds. Those two guys defended the perimeter really well. When you talk about athleticism in the tournament, that's the kind of thing I think Coach Underwood was talking about.
Yeah, and you hope guys are smart enough to, you know, kind of see the development. And look, RJ has got a lot of talent. The shots will eventually fall. Good shooters make shots. And you can tell by looking at him you know, he's got the opportunity to get better, but it's going to take some commitment in the weight room. It's going to take, obviously, more shooting drills, and it's going to take just a little bit better handles. He's going to have to get a little better with the ball. He's at the perfect school to get physically better if he's committed to doing so with Fletch. So he's got the best strength and conditioning coach in the country. So, you know, hopefully he'll look at this and at the end of the season and say, hey, this is what I can do for next year. But the transfer portal makes it a weird thing because kids can kind of choose to run somewhere else and see if things magically get better versus, you know, putting your head down and grinding, which is a skill that we all know is needed, you know, in life as well.
You know what's funny, Mike? You mentioned that about RJ's handles. And I remember this summer at an AAU event. And, you know, just, you know, having a small talk with Coach Underwood, he mentioned that. He mentioned that that's the one part of RJ's game that he really wanted to see him work on was tightening up his ball handling abilities. He mentioned the fact that he could get by people, but once he got by people, he kind of lost the ball or didn't always finish. And, you know, so, you know, when you made that comment, I thought, wait a minute. I mean, I remember hearing Coach Underwood tell me that this summer at a basketball event, so, you know, there's probably some truth to it. But you're right. You know, I think right now he needs a couple of shots to go down. I think me personally, every game is important. I mean, especially from Purdue all the way through Minnesota, because that's the best team and the worst team in the league. All these games are important, but I really think if they're going to do something next week when they play Wisconsin, that's going to tell me a lot. Illinois has to start separating themselves because I'm going to tell you a team that's really scary to me, or two teams, is Rutgers and Michigan State. I really think that those two teams have the capability to separate themselves. Illinois can do it. We've seen them do it. But they cannot have any – they just can't afford to lay any more eggs. And they just can't. Now it's time to step up. If you don't want to play, get an 8 or 9 or 10 seed in the NCAA tournament, you better start getting some of these wins.
Yeah, and look, ultimately, you know, the team has to get more consistent, and they have to figure out, you know, who their go-to guy is when they need to reverse a streak. And it seems like right now it's Matt Meyer who seems to be the guy who, you know, when Illinois is struggling, all of a sudden he finds a way to get a shot, you know. And his ability to get to the rim is good. He still didn't look, I'm just talking, watching his facial expressions and stuff, didn't look like he felt the greatest tonight. Still went out and got 8 rebounds, 12 points. It was a great team effort because you had Coleman Hawkins with 11 points and 9 rebounds and 6 assists. You know, you looked at Ty Rogers with 4 points, 8 rebounds, and, of course, Terrence Shannon Jr., with 17 points and 7 boards. So it was a really good, you know, performance by multiple players. Jaden Epps had another, again, he had 14 points, played well. I would like to see Jaden get a little better. He missed a couple beautiful opportunities to, you know, open guys in the lane, and that's just not his thing now. So I think next year, you know, I'd like to see him work on that because the ball just sticks in his hands a little too long for him to make good passes.
I agree. And I tell you, one guy I thought he missed and who was, you know, crying for the basketball was Dane Danger. I'm going to tell you, if people want to know how good the scouting in the Big Ten is tonight, I think you saw it. I mean, some of Dane's fouls were stupid. They were. I'm not going to blame the officials. I mean, the one where he shoved the guy in the back, you can't do that right in front of the official face. And the reason I brought his name up, because you mentioned the fact that, you know, Jaden, the ball sticking in his hands. And I think, you know, there were a couple of times where they, you know, was very, very frustrated because he thought he should have got to basketball. But that's good. You know, it's a learning experience for Jaden. And it's funny, you know, tonight I get a text from Draymond Gibbs Longhorn, who's a committed four-star point guard to Illinois Nature. His father texts me tonight. And we just talk the whole game about, you know, we text the whole game about the game and X's and O's and how he thinks his son can help. And, you know, and it was really, really unique hearing a different perspective. And, You know, you talk about guard play, and I know Sky Clark is no longer on the team right now, and you know, Illinois has another outstanding guard coming in. So, you know, his dad watches the games, and you know, and so does Bayvon when he gets an opportunity. And I just think, you know, moving forward, you know, because there'll be, you know, there should be a lot better guards next year with Sincere Harris and Draylon and with Jay Nepp. So the backcourt looks to be really, really solid next year moving forward. And hopefully Jaden can, I don't want to say fix those flaws because they're not really flaws. You're asking him to do a lot. Some games he starts, some games he doesn't. And I think Underwood tonight, putting him in the lineup, I think he wants to jumpstart the offense sooner. And, you know, and once he's able to find guys, and I thought his defense was better tonight. I think that was one of the reasons that kept him off the floor. And I know Draymond's a really good defensive player, so that's going to put pressure on him next year, or at least Jay next year, to continue to succeed if he wants to be on the court.
Yeah, look, this was a pretty good performance. It would have been nice. Illinois had him a couple times. You know, they let him kind of get closer at the half than they really needed to. They could have closed that thing at 12 or 13 points instead of 8. And then they kept kind of letting them back in a little bit. It would have been nice. Like I said, there's a few things I would have preferred to see. When Sean McNeil at 6'2", 6'3" was on Matt Meyer, I would get Matt the ball almost every time I saw that matchup, because Matt could either shoot over him at the three with little concern, or, which he didn't do, you know, very often, I think he could have posted him up. They could have cleared out and let Meyer post him up and just turn around and dunk it or lay it up. I'd like to see them be more cognizant of matchups like that and take advantage of it. And the other thing, like you said, I thought Dane Danger had, one phantom foul, but he had a couple just ones that he's got to just think a little better. And that keeps him on the court a little more. And that gives him the opportunity, you know, to do a little more damage offensively. Cause I think he was frustrated. He was open a couple times, didn't get the ball. And then, like I said, you mentioned the two hand push right as the ball's coming to the guy you're guarding. That's going to be a call every league from kindergarten ball all the way through the NBA. So you just can't.
I agree. You know what? You mentioned Matthew Meyer, and here's a guy to me. I'm not gonna lie. I'm really frustrated with him because he's good. He is better than what I think people even realize. I mean, this guy, he has a great shooting touch now that he's learned to play defense. I mean, tonight he had a good block on help side defense. The reason I like him is because I want to see more from him, because 9 times out of 10, no team starts 3 guys that are 6'10". I just don't know very many teams in the Big Ten that does it. I just don't. And so he's always having a smaller guy on him. And I think he's a great shooter, but I think he settles for it too much. I think he's able to get to the rim. He's a good 74-75% free throw shooter. He's, you know, if he misses a shot when he gets to the rim, he's trying to get it back. I just think he's left points on the table. And not that he's had a bad season, but, you know, he was one of the top 2 or 3 transfers coming in the portal. I mean, he's been great the last 5 or 6 games. But I really think there's more left in that arsenal. Other than just settling for threes, he has some talent. And I really want to see him go out with a bang, because they're really going to need him. And I'm going to tell you, next week when they play Wisconsin, this weekend, he's going to be huge. He has to be, because Wisconsin's physical and long. And, you know, Coleman is going to be defended well. And, you know, Dan's going to be defended well. So I think he's going to be the key to the game this weekend.
Yeah, they've got a stretch now of 3 games that are going to be pretty tough, because you've got the at Wisconsin on Saturday. That's a 2 p.m. Central game. It's on Fox, and that's the 28th of January. Then next Tuesday, what appears to be an easy game is they play Nebraska at home. That game's on Big Ten Network at 6 p.m. But we've seen Nebraska pull the upset this year, and one thing Nebraska does is they defend well. So they're bound. If you're having a bad shooting night, you're going to go down to the end with those guys. And then, of course, a week from Saturday, February 4th, they get the Fox game again, where they take on Iowa. And while Iowa is not famous for great defense, it's over in Iowa City, and those guys can shoot. And you know that you're gonna have to go out and play good defense, and they're probably still gonna put up, 70 points on you. So that means your offense can't be lackadaisical. So we are going to see in the next 10 days, it will be a tough stretch for the Illini. And again, it's the Big Ten. There's no easy stretches, but they're going to need to. They're going to need to show what they've got. And the one thing that this team has yet to prove is that when things are going well, can they, keep them going well? Can they avoid becoming satisfied? Because right now, you're looking at a team that ironically, has won 5-game winning streak and won 4-game winning streak. So they haven't put together one of those 10 or 11 game tears. And, this season now, where they're sitting at 5-4 in the Big Ten, this season is all of a sudden we're kind of seeing the finish line in front of them, 14-6 overall. And for NCAA purposes, for seeding purposes, they need to tear off a streak and also to defend the Big Ten title that they have. Now, it looks like Purdue's going to run away with it, but you never know in college basketball. And certainly they just have to control their destiny and win when they need to.
Well, that's why I said to you when you mentioned the schedule, Saturday game being huge, because you're 5-4, you have a chance to go, 6-4 on Saturday and 7-4 when you play Nebraska. Going to Iowa City this year, fans, it's going to be tough. I'm just going to tell you what it is. I've seen them play. I live 50 miles from there, and this is an offensive juggernaut. They can put points on the board. I really want to see if Illinois can run them off the three-point line. They run some really, really good sets. I really want to see Murray and Terrence Shannon match up well with each other. Too bad it's not in Champaign, but it's the return favorite from last year because, they came to Champaign. But the schedule now, because you lose at home to Indiana and you lost at home to Penn State and you lost to Northwestern on the road, now you can't make mistakes.
I think that's kind of overrated a little bit. You have to have guys step up. They have to be brought in. One thing I saw tonight that I saw, I don't know how truthful it was, right away Coleman Hawkins went to, after, they had their little meeting, he went to social media, talking about good team win. They better figure this out, because this is the last year for some of these guys, and I really, really think they have the talent to win, but, they just have to fix things. And, I know they talk about them. They shot, 88% from the line tonight. I don't want to see them go to Wisconsin Saturday and shoot 65%. Wisconsin's going to be physical. That's just who they are, and that's how they play. Little things, whatever you can do. Because if you really think about it, they can win multiple ways. They can run down the floor. They can run up the floor. They can slow it down. And Mike, you and I have talked about this multiple times, and I don't know if you've changed your mind, but I have a little bit. The offense looks really good right now. You can see what they're trying to do. That it looks good. Those back cuts. Remember, we did a podcast once, and I talked about them cutting with a sense of purpose and not just going to spots. That's how Ty got his layup, or that's how Coleman Hawkins got his layup. They're now looking for those things. Offense looks good when you cut with a purpose and you're trying to use screens. So the offense looks better. It looked like Ohio State was trying to take them out of the offense, but Illinois forced their will on them, and that's good to see for future references.
Yep. No, I totally agree with you. Ultimately, this team, the only thing that scares me about them, And you know what I'm going to say, because I've been a broken record on this. When I look at shooting 5-for-28 from the three, I'm beginning to wonder is this team really a good 3-point shooting team, or are they just a team that occasionally is going to get hot on, you know, once every 4 or 5 games, and you just got to hope in the tournament they have a couple of those games a little closer together.
They got 3 guys that are, in my opinion, 2.5, I'll put it that way. They have 3 guys that are capable of just going on a 3-point run. And I think that's Matthew Myers, Tam Shannon, and then the other half, I think, is Coleman Hawkins. Coleman's capable of doing it, but the Shannon and Myers, the 2 big transfers, are the guys that I think if they were going to go on a run where they just got hot the way Terrence Shannon did, out in Vegas, and I forget who, that was that stretch of Matthew, well, the Texas game, when Matthew was on a roll then. And but sometimes in the tournament, you're going to need a guy like that. You're going to need a run like that. And at the end of the day, then it won't matter. But only has to have enough wins. They have to put themselves in position. You know, they can continue to lose, like I said to you earlier, to the listeners out there. You don't want to see, you know, walk into a tournament as a 9 or 10 seed, because then you get upset, you know, and that's going to be ugly, because fans are going to be upset because you're going to be knocked out of the first round. They need to try to get to the second weekend. And that's why I said the little things. Now you fix these things and do it now, so that way when turns come that you're able to. And also, it looks like there's going to be a good chance that Luke Goody's going to come back. And yep. I think that's going to help. And how about Brandon Lee? You know what? I mean, we've all been kind of, I don't know if critical is the right word, but he gave them some good minutes tonight. He really did. And I'm going to eat my words. I mean, I'm just sorry. I'm not going to pretend that I haven't been critical of his play and his position on the team, but he has been very serviceable.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, being old Illinois fans, we're smart enough to remember, you know, guys who came on later in their careers, particularly bigs. You know, you want to have, you want to have a little more patience with guys like that. You know, Robert Archibald, you know, nobody would have kept after the first year. You know, you go back to Brian Leonard, and there's a number of guys, you know, back there in the past who had a good, you know, junior or senior year. And it's sometimes worth keeping those guys so that you have that, you know, you have that luxury. And with today's transfer portal, where it seems like you've always got, you know, 12 guys instead of 13 or whatever, maybe it's not bad to stash a big guy. In the past, people, you know, even I've been thinking that maybe the bigs, the project bigs, will go play at an Eastern and an SIU, and then in their third or fourth year transfer to a Illinois or an Indiana, so to speak, to kind of help out things. But maybe it's better to go, you know, and play against Kofi for a couple of years and play against Danger, and then be ready for one year where you can go in and be the guy who helps out at key moments. I haven't quite figured that one out in my mind yet.
No, me either. I haven't. But right now, you know, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, Mike, they really, really have to find that guy. I know Terrence Shannon is trying to become more vocal. I mean, he is. And I think Coach Underwood, and I totally understand why. I think he kind of gives him a longer leash, because at least he knows and he's been around. But, you know, we have talked about a player that came to Illinois, and as they've gotten better, for the fans that are listening to this, and, you know, if you saw the statistic on the screen tonight, they showed 3 guys in college basketball that's increased their scoring, and, you know, Terrence Shannon is second. And that's a guy, and we can say it and complain and lie to ourselves, but that's a guy that got better under Coach Underwood, because he has. And his whole game has changed, and I think Underwood's done a good job with Matthew Meyer. Matthew was doing that sidestep shot, and he was good for at least 3 air balls a game, and I haven't seen that once. I haven't seen that since, and I think they've shown him that his, you know, production's going to go up, and I think they've done it with Coleman. Even though Coleman didn't shoot the ball well from 3 tonight, I mean, he looked really good doing it, and I mean, he's probably the toughest kid to figure out, because, I was told this week, you know, late last week, that regardless of what Illinois fans think and what you see, the NBA is different. The way they look at players and what they see, a lot of NBA teams love Coleman Hawkins. You can say, "Kid, you're crazy. You're drinking." No, I'm not. I mean, if you listen to us tonight, you heard Robbie Hummel talk about it. He has a game, and they figure once he's not going to class every day and they can work with him, he's going to become more consistent. How many guys are 6'10 in the NBA? Well, there's tons of them. But guys that can play defensive rebound and play basically four different positions. I mean, he really and truly could do it.
He's going to
his game is expanded.
He's going at the bottom of the first round unless he has just a total devastating thing happen. He is going at the bottom of the first round. There's going to be too many teams.
Oh, especially, and that's not bad though.
No, that's great. I mean, it gets you an automatic 3-year guaranteed deal. You know, I think at the bottom of the first round, you make what, $2-3 million a year, something like that. I mean, when I say it matter of factly like that, that's what's going to happen. I don't say it as I don't say it as a disappointing thing because. You know, I mean, there's a half a million kids across the country who would love to go in the first round. Especially Iowa. When, yeah, exactly. Iowa went in the top of the second round, you know. So when you take a look at, like, what he could do for his family. And the other thing is in the NBA, if you can find a way to get on one of the better teams to start with, you don't have to toil. Where where maybe you have to go from one team to another, you know, as they try to rebuild and decide, yeah, well, you're not good enough or whatever. You get on one of those teams, the better teams, and then you become a contributor that kind of adds more to their game every year. That's a good place to be, you know. And let's say the Celtics great year this year. What a great thing it would be to be drafted by them, and they develop their players really well, and you're on a team where, you know, you can learn the game and you don't have to be the hero. You don't have to figure out in your rookie year how you're going to get your 10 to 20 points, you know. So, I mean, I think that's great. Now, before we go with you, Ked, there's one question I did want to ask you because you broke some news in terms of some people visiting. And I wanted to, get you to maybe tell people who was there to watch the game tonight, and a little bit about one's a commit and one's a potential recruit. Maybe you can give us a little background.
Well, I mean, it was really, really nice to see tonight for the only fans. It was nice to have your top 50 basketball recruit, Amani Hansberry. From the Baltimore, Maryland area. He was on campus tonight. And I actually, I take some during the game, and he gave me some good feedback, and I put it on our message board, you know, the comment that he made. It was nice to get him out. I know Coach Frazier talked about how tough it was to get him out because he's so far away. So it was nice to have him on campus for a visit to watch a game. And I'll put it this way, the Orange Crush and the fans didn't, disappoint. And a guy that kind of come out of nowhere is a guy named Zach Hawkinson out of the Springfield area. And he has had a lot of Division II looks in Division I off. I mean, not Division I offers, excuse me, Division II offers. He was there tonight. He is a recruit that Coach Jeff Alexander is in charge of, and he took a game in tonight. I mean, from my understanding, a lot of people – very, very good athlete, strong kid, a lot of good upside. Illinois has not offered them a scholarship. That hasn't happened. But I think they're kind of watching him and see how he progresses. And Illinois now is just looking for guys and looking for talent. They're not looking for certain stars and kids that fit their mold and looking, and what they want. Cole Serta, is another guy that he wasn't there, but they'd offered a scholarship. And what's unique about Zach and Cole, the Illinois guys, and they like Illinois. They are guys who, for the fans to talk, hey, it'd be nice to get some Illinois kids again, to get that pipeline going to keep Illinois kids home. Well, these are two kids that really like them. Cole Serta has offers from Penn State Northwestern. So, I mean, he's definitely a Division I prospect. And I don't think Illinois is pushing for a commitment right away, but the interest is definitely there. And it was a nice surprise to get them on campus. And, you're right. I'm glad that we got that information out from Illini guys to the fans right away, Mike.
Yeah, and that's part of the beauty of Illini guys. You can go back to our message boards, and that's where we can put some rumors and some, you know, some of the sausage making that you maybe can't put into a story because nobody will be sourced as a quote. But when you look at like messages like this, where Ked can give Illini guys subscribers some a real time look at what an Illini, you know, commit is saying about what's going on, or a recruit about what's going on, is kind of cool. That's part of the advantage of being an Illini guys subscriber. So it's just one of those things where we've got those advantages. If you subscribe, it's $99 a year. You get all the stories, and you get the message boards where you can go back there and get these tidbits. And then the neat thing is you can essentially message. You know, it's a board where everybody can see what's going on, but you can message Ked back or Brad, and you can get an answer to your questions, which is really pretty cool. IlliniGuys.com, $99 a year, with what you see going on in the football program and what you see going on in the basketball program, both men and women's. This is a good time to go. Then you add the Illini golf team, you add the baseball team, you add the wrestling team, you've got the track teams. There's a lot going on, and there's a lot of reasons to come on board and jump on with a bunch of Illini fans. And it really doesn't matter where you're at. You can be halfway across the state, be halfway across the world. You know, we will keep you in the know. And at $99, we're proud. We haven't raised our prices when a lot of other companies and stuff has during this time of inflation. So we're trying to keep it manageable for you. So, Ked, any other final comments that you have here before we wrap up?
Yeah, I think I said it once, and I really think this Saturday is huge. I think, you know, they've had all kind of bad losses, Mike. They've struggled. They lost at home. It doesn't matter who they're playing. To me, this next game is big. You got to get off this 500 mark, and you got to try to separate yourself. You got to try to prove that you're going to be one of the teams that they talk about when they turn on ESPN or Big Ten Network or Fox or whatever network they're on. You want to see your team at the top. You don't want to see them at the bottom. So when they start talking about these bubble teams, that Illinois is going to be there. You want to put yourself in position, and you got to prove that you can win on the road. This is huge because you've lost games at home. You go to Wisconsin to win, it helps eliminate that Penn State loss at home.
Yep. Yep, and I always loved Bill Self because he was so crazy about never losing at home if you possibly could avoid it. Obviously, Coach Underwood's the same way, but those are the games that you, when you look back, you get frustrated on. Now, Ked, thank you so much for coming on. You're going to probably be here as well, but we've got Brad Sturdy, who just has gotten out of the locker room and out of the interviews, and now we have him. Brad, it was a maybe a little bit closer touch and go in the first half than we thought, but the Illini kind of took control of the game in the second half. What were your impressions as you were sitting courtside?
Well, I thought Illinois' defense was fantastic for most of the night. I mean, they had a few breakdowns here and there, but most of the time it was very good. Limited number of shots as Ohio State got at the rim, limited number of threes they took, forced them to shoot tough twos, and I think that's why they were successful. To be honest, I mean, the game ended up being a 9-point game. I feel like Illinois, they were up, you know, 8 at halftime. Probably should have been up like 15 at halftime. Yeah. Probably should have won this game by 20 points when you just look at the quality of shots that the teams were getting. Ohio State's, you know, taking really tough twos and hitting some fadeaways, had some balls hit the iron and roll in, had some, you know, great bounces. And Illinois is missing wide open jumpers, which, you know, they're running sets and getting wide open looks and just not even, you know, not knocking them down, missing them badly. And so I don't, you know, I think they outplayed Ohio State from the jump, but just didn't, maybe the shots didn't go in as well.
Just a quick question for you. Sensabaugh really impressed me as a player. I liked him last spring, thought he was just kind of a dynamic guy, especially with the, he kind of reminded me of like a Charles Barkley light. And I wondered, you know, what did you think of him? He looks like a pretty good freshman they have, although he had kind of a normal, night tonight.
He's DeMar DeRozan. Reminds me a ton of DeMar DeRozan, the way he play off one dribble, you know, play can play in the post a little bit, ISOs, very good in those situations. And he can't shoot it from three. He's not it doesn't have a high volume. I think that's going to be his next step. He's physically so strong, plays a lot of bully ball where he's able to just back guys down and get in their chest. I mean, you saw him knock Shannon back a couple of times, which, I mean, Terrence Shannon's a strong dude. So
yep.
He knocked him back and created some space. I thought Shannon, Hawkins, Melendez, the guys who were on Sensabaugh, did a fantastic job on him when they were on it.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. So as we look, it was a balanced scoring night tonight with Shannon at 17, Epps at 14, Meyer at 12, Hawkins at 11. You know, there was even a nice big advantage on rebounding with, you know, four guys between seven and nine rebounds, with Shannon at seven, Meyer at eight, Hawkins at nine, and Rogers at eight. Any of the play out there really stand out to you as you watch the game?
Well, I think you saw why Illinois loves Ty Rogers so much. You saw what he brings to the table in this game. His defensive versatility, his ability to attack the glass, his ability to make shots, runners around the rim, although he did miss the completely uncontested layup in the first half, which was bizarre.
He did make that. He did turn what I thought was an easy use of his left hand into an incredibly acrobatic attempt using his right hand.
Yeah, it was bizarre. But, you know, overall, he had a great game. You see why he was so coveted and why Illinois likes him so much. And I thought – you know, and I'm going to give a shout out to RJ Melendez. You know, the reason he played 31 minutes tonight was because he guarded and he rebounded and he battled. He ran the floor. He got out in transition and scored a basket. He only finished with 3 points, but man, did he played hard. He played well. And like Brad said in the postgame, eventually that shot's going to fall because he can shoot. So eventually he's going to make those shots. And he starts making those shots. He's really good. And so, you know, he had to play 31 minutes tonight in large part because defensively they needed him out on the floor because he did such a good job.
You know, it was interesting. When you think about it, you end up with the possibility of RJ kind of pivoting and having maybe a few games, you know, finishing up the year the way everybody thought the whole year would be, pretty hot. You have the opportunity for Ty Rogers to keep improving. And you got a 6'8" guy who will be returning from injury. So theoretically, by Big Ten tournament time, this team could be quite a bit better than it is right now, or am I just being a homer?
No, you're exactly right. I think that's what we've said all year. I mean, Jaden Epps is becoming more and more consistent, you know, at the one position. I mean, you know what you get from Sincere Harris. He brings the energy and effort. And now, if you can get that from Ty Rogers and RJ Melendez, you know, and I think the key to this team, and we can talk about Terrence Shannon and him shooting or Matthew Meyer or whatever. Coleman Hawkins is the key to this team. When Coleman Hawkins is good on both ends of the floor, this team is good. When Coleman Hawkins is not so good on both ends of the floor, this team really struggles. And we've seen that. I mean, it's just pretty obvious to anyone who's watching that he is that X factor. And when he's good, this team can be really, really good. And you saw that tonight. He was good. This team wins handily against Ohio State.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we look at, you know, Ked and I were talking and we both agreed that he's probably, you know, barring some, you know, bad thing happening or just a total meltdown, that he's probably a guy that'll go at the end of the first round. With his, you know, he's just got so many things he can do, and at 6'10", he just becomes, you know, a nightmare on many levels, and so we think that's going to happen. The other thing I think was interesting was we had questions online. Do we know if Matt Meyer was feeling better tonight? Was this his flu game? Do we know how he was feeling?
He was better. So here's a tell you Matt Meyer story. So after the game against Indiana, he went back to the to his room. He slept for 12 hours, got up, ate something, and went to sleep for another 10 hours. Literally, he spent, it was like a full day. He spent 24 hours essentially asleep because he was, that's how bad he felt. So clearly he's even, you know, a couple days later, you're not going to be fully 100%, but he was well, good enough to go. And he's always going to bring it when he's out there. And so, yeah, he was still not as not 100%, but I think as you go on, now you got another, you know, you got another day off tomorrow and then, you know, get back at it Thursday and Friday where, then he's ready to go for the game on Saturday at Wisconsin.
Well, that's the reason I asked, Brad, was you could – there was one time the camera was on him at a stoppage of the clock at the free throw line, and you could just see he was breathing hard, and it was relatively early in the first half, and that's just typically not him. And that's the only reason I asked was that. Dane Danger had a couple of fouls that were – as Ked said it, they weren't the brightest. Was he getting frustrated just where he thought? Because there were a couple times I thought he was open, particularly one time Epps just doesn't see. He's just not able to see an open guy and get the ball out of his hands quick enough. Was that a factor in some of his fouling, or just one of those nights for him?
Well, he was, and they were even talking to him about it. What Dane has tends to do is use his hands on defense in the post as opposed to using his arm bar and using his feet to create position and using that backhand. So he starts putting two hands on that guy from behind, and they're going to call that. I mean, it's almost one of those, you put two hands on the guy, it's auto foul, you know, and that's the way these officials look at it. And so I think sometimes it's just a learning. Here's the thing. He's always going to have days like this because Dane is a freshman, really. Yeah. I mean, so freshmen are, you know, we don't think of him that way, but he's played 8 minutes of college basketball before this year. So I think he's getting better, and he was frustrated with the calls. And I thought one of them was pretty cheap. I thought the early one was pretty cheap. But then it just comes down and, you know, give Zed Key credit because Zed Key's a veteran. You know, he's a guy who knows how to kind of get position and how to seal. And, you know, and I'm not trying to be comparatively, but, you know, Dane Danger is a much better player than Zed Key when it comes, you know, in his whole package. But, you know, Zed Key's got experience. And you know, Dane's going to be a better player than him down the road. But, you know, sometimes experience helps you get those fouls. You get those little you find a way to get those officials to make those calls.
Yeah, and Zed is for a guy who's not the most fleet of foot, he does a wonderful job of getting position for rebounds. And I got to give him credit on his work ethic. He kind of reminds me of a guy who can't score as well, but the way he plays is a little bit like George Montgomery. If you want to go back into the time machine, you know, he gets that position and you ain't going to go through him to get the ball.
That's a good analogy.
It just proves we're old, Brad.
Yeah, that is true. That may be the biggest takeaway there.
Any other thoughts that come to mind? You know, like I said, you're sitting there. But the one question, I guess, before I just let you go off on what you saw, did you think that it looked like that Coach Underwood has decided maybe to you know, be the kinder, gentler Coach Underwood? Because there were some moments that I think I would have been ranting and raving in the first half, and he was not that guy tonight. He was just, you know, he went down and sat. Ked mentioned he went down and sat down once. And I thought, well, he has to do something. And you know, and so you think he's trying to take maybe a more nuanced approach to these guys?
Well, and I think it depends on situations. I think there's no doubt that he's still there. I mean, Bad Brad's still waiting to come out.
Yeah,
I mean, don't give me. but I think these guys are different. I mean, the one thing is when he gets mad, it's usually for lack of effort or, you know, complete mental breakdowns. It's not missing shots, not things like that. So tonight I thought they played hard. I mean, you saw, you know, you used to get on RJ all the time because he wasn't running the floor. He sprinted the floor every time tonight.
Yep.
So you can say that, well, that doesn't work. Well, all I know is now he's running up down the floor hard. He wasn't earlier in the year. So maybe the yelling did something clicked, right? So something worked to make him realize that what he can do. And you saw him get out in transition the last couple of games and do some things. So yeah, I think that Reds also understood that maybe that style doesn't always work with all the players you have, and you have to be different. You know, with each team and with each player, everybody's individual. I mean, guys like Trent, DeMonte, Kofi, they're different. I mean, they took it and they're like, yeah, you know, they can handle it. You know, I mean, they're old guys. It didn't bother them. Here's what I'll tell you. Practice is still, when they mess up, they hear about it. So just being a little bit better on the sidelines, maybe.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And it's kind of funny. RJ just, you know, the RJ just tweeted the defense wins games, and clearly, you know, he did really play quite well on the defensive end of the court. Did they do anything different that you know of for free throws? Because I guess the thought process I had is maybe the way they shot free throws, and they did make more of their layups than they did the other night. Maybe fatigue was a part of their issue they had. I'm not saying it was everything, but that's if they shot, you know, their normal 9 or 11 for 18, this game goes down to the final minute and we don't know what could happen. And instead, they kind of closed it off at the free throw line and Ohio State could never really catch up.
Well, I think it's simply that the right guys were shooting free throws. It wasn't Ty Rogers, it wasn't Sincere Harris, and it wasn't Dane Danger. When those three guys are shooting free throws, then sometimes it can be scary. But, you know, Terrence Shannon's a pretty good free throw shooter. He's had some games where he's off and off. You know, he's been inconsistent a couple times. But overall, you know, he's 9-9 tonight. And, you know, Matthew Meyer's a good free throw shooter. You know, RJ made 1 out of 2. But, you know, Jaden Epps, a good free throw shooter. So, yeah, I think just had the right guys getting fouled. I mean, you know, it seems like such a simple thing, but when, you know, sometimes your free throw shooting looks really good when you have the right guys, you know, shooting all the free throws.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, you definitely had that. And I also thought that, boy, when RJ went down, really got the ball on that break. He is tough to defend because he gets from one end of the court to the other pretty darn fast. Yep. Any other thoughts that come to your mind based on what you saw tonight, Brad?
Well, man, my biggest takeaway is that Illinois shoots 5 of 28 from 3. They don't really shoot the ball that well. They turn it over 12 times. And some of them were sloppy early turnovers and different, you know, just in odd times. They still find a way to really win this game handily. I mean, I know it ends up 9 points, but we all know that it really wasn't that close. It was 17 points with 4 minutes to go, and even it was 12 or 11 points, even when they threw in the last 3 that, you know, was kind of, you know, bogus, but regardless, or 12 points or whatever. And so that this is a team when you can win in different fashions, you know, you don't shoot the ball well, you win, you attack the glass, you get extra shots that way. You get to the free throw line, you make your free throws, you know, you're able to defend consistently and make you like tough shots. Really, outside of the Indiana game, this team has been very good defensively for the last, you know, last 3 weeks. So now the key is if they can find something to click offensively where they shoot it well, they're really going to be hard to beat. I mean, I really think this is a team that can do some good things. And that's my biggest takeaway. I think they can make a run because they win different ways. You can have an off shooting night and still win. That's when you're really good.
Yeah, and if they have an on shooting night, you know, they can beat anybody. I mean, they've already proven that by beating Texas and UCLA. So we know, and if you want to take Kansas in that super secret probation scrimmage.
And you know, the other thing, Mike, is they're getting better. And we're seeing each individual players are getting better. Jaden Epps is getting better. Ty Rogers is getting better. RJ Melendez is getting better. You know, I mean, Matthew Meyer is going to – he's done being sick. He's going to be healthy. You know, Terrence Shannon isn't having any of his – you know, every game it seems like he's putting points on the board. Even if his shot isn't falling from 3, he's still able to attack the rim, get to the line. You know, he's getting better. You know, you go down the line, every player on this team's get Coleman Hawkins. I mean, I still think he's the X factor. When he's right, this team's really, really good and tough to beat.
Well, and the other thing I do love about Terrence Shannon Jr., and this is not a comparison, but he reminds me of the beard because he gets to the free throw line when he's aggressive. And even if you're stopping him from the field, you know, he goes 9 for 9 from the free throw line tonight because he's relentless in attacking the basket. And, you know, Harden's made a living on that.
Yeah, no question. And that's his game. You know, get him in situations where he can attack off the bounce. And, you know, again, tonight he probably took some threes that he shouldn't have taken. He missed, he was 0 for 3, but
yeah.
Took a couple that were really kind of wild threes where he kind of gets in the flow of the game and just chucks something up. It's like, whoa, hang on. So, and yeah, Brad Meyer, gave him a, what are you doing?
Him and Meyer are the human heat checks at times.
They do sometimes.
So we got Wisconsin coming up next. Yeah, up there in Madison. You know you're not going to get the calls. You know you're going to be down. You know you're going to have at least one guy in foul trouble. What are your thoughts on that game and any inkling of what Coach Underwood is thinking now?
Well, I mean, I think Illinois is going to do the same thing they did to him here. They're going to force him into those tough twos. They're going to not allow them to get pick-and-pop threes. They're going to try and, you know, you'll see some different coverages. I think they'll vary it from drop coverage to switching some of those ball screens that Wisconsin runs. Wisconsin's going to try and, you know, post their guards and be physical. Tyler Wall being back will change the game a little bit. I think Illinois matches up really well with Wisconsin. If they have a good game, if they shoot the ball well, they're going to win. If they don't shoot the ball well, it's going to be a dogfight and be tough to win on the road. But they're going to have to make some of those open shots that they missed tonight.
Okay. Any other final thoughts before we head out of here, Brad?
Yeah, one thing I'll say, you know, 2023 signee Amani Hansberry was there tonight. He got a chance to see Illinois play. It's rare when guys get to an in-season game because, of course, he's in the middle of the season. Great to see him there. He was very excited. He said it was even better than he imagined. So had a lot of fun. There was a 2023 Zach Hawkinson from Springfield Sacred Heart Griffin, who is a 6'5 wing, kind of, you know, they won the state title last year. He's a kid who's really tough, hard nosed, played with the Mid Pro Academy, on the same team with the two kids going to Iowa, Owen Freeman and Brock Harding. And he's looking at Illinois as possible preferred walk-on. He'd be a really great addition because he'd bring that toughness. He got a little bit of Ty Rogers in his game and the way he's just active and you know, keeps things alive, does all those little things, dirty work. He shoots it. He's more of a shooter, maybe not quite the same ball handler, though. And then there was Elijah Lovemore, who is a 2025 6'3 point guard out of Chicago Bloom, who was there as well on an unofficial visit. So good group of visitors tonight for a big game and a really nice turnout for Illinois. And they get to see the Illini look really good.
Good. One final thing, and then I'll let you go. What'd you think of what was the reaction of the crowd to Jaden Epps' genius move on the inbounds where he bopped it off the back of the player and went in for the layup?
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. I liked it. You know, they liked it. I think they got pretty excited. I think it stunned people for a little bit. It was like a delayed reaction. It's like, yeah. What happened? So, yeah, and then they showed the replay and it was pretty cool.
Yeah. At home, we were all like, oh, that's just a genius move. So it was kind of cool to see your freshman who's got the guts to pull that off. And then it actually works. So I just thought that was cool. Okay.
Very cool.
Thank you very much, Brad. Of course, for those folks who, tuning in, Brad is also a co-host along with myself and Larry Smith on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. You can hear us across the state of Illinois on 30 stations. Go ahead to IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button, and you can see a list of all the stations in the state that have us. Go ahead and find the one closest to you. See what day we're on. It's a weekly show. It's usually Friday or Saturday, and it's 2 hours. And go ahead and tune in. If you enjoy it, please give that station an email or a call and let them know that you enjoyed the show. And, of course, we also have Sturdy for 30. That's Brad's podcast, along with Ked's Recruiting Roundup. And you can listen to those podcasts as well. All you have to do is subscribe, but it's part of the Illini Guys podcast network, along with Eye on the Illini, and you can get a podcast version after all the stations have played the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. You can listen to that. It usually drops around 12 or 12:30 Saturday afternoon. Perfect thing on one of those days if you got a shovel. You know, you can just kind of put that on the headphones, fire up the snowplow and go out and or the snowblower and go out and enjoy snow blowing with the Illini Guys. So with that, this is Illini Guy Mike Kegley thanking Director of Recruiting Kedrick Prince for jumping on, and of course fellow Illini Guy Brad Sturdy. Thank you so much. We will be back to discuss the Wisconsin hopeful victory. Go Illini!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.